so the captain had to keep looking around these 9 instruments, each the size of a coffee cup, while his right hand was controlling the speed and his left hand was flying the airplane. He was maxed out. He had no resources left to do anything else. That's what happens when you're tired. Your decision-making skills erode. You start missing things, things that you would pick up on any other day. In the black box recovered from the crash site, Captain Kevyedis, in the final hour of the flight, is heard to repeatedly ask for directions from ATC to be translated into Spanish, as if he no longer had the energy to make use of his English. On 9 occasions, he also asked for directions to be repeated. "Tell me things louder," he said, right near the end. "I'm not hearing them." When the plane was circling for 40 minutes just southeast of Kennedy, when everyone on the flight deck clearly knew they were running out of fuel, the pilot could easily have asked to land at Philadelphia, which was just 65 miles away. But he didn't. It was as if he had locked in on New York. On the aborted landing, the plane's ground proximity warning system went off no less than 15 times, telling the captain that he was bringing in the plane too low. He seemed oblivious. When he aborted the landing, he should have circled back around immediately and didn't. He was exhausted. Through it all, the cockpit was filled with a heavy silence. Sitting next to Kevyedis was his first officer, Maurizio Klotz, and in the flight recorder there were long stretches of nothing but rustling and engine noise. It was Klotz's responsibility to conduct all communication with ATC, which meant that his role that night was absolutely critical. But his behavior was oddly passive. It wasn't until the 3rd holding pattern southwest of Kennedy Airport that Klotz told ATC that he didn't think the plane had enough fuel to reach an alternate airport. The next thing the crew heard from ATC was, "Just stand by," and, following that, "Clear to the Kennedy Airport."